Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to Jordan Garver Now. Yes, this show is back. A lot of great reviews last year. We had a lot of great guests, and we're going to continue that in 2017 because we have none other than former TNA star Jesse Neal. Jesse, how are you today, sir?
Hey, I'm good, man. How about you?
I am doing pretty good. Now, luckily, you're in Florida, so you don't have to deal with the 40 below weather that we have here in Winnipeg. So as I'm conducting this interview at my station, I'm all freezing at the same time. So I'm kind of got a multitask here. But we definitely have a lot to talk about, and we'll get right to it, starting out with just early childhood. What kind of got you focused towards wrestling in particular? There's so many products out there. There's boxing, there's MMA, there's UFC, there's even different sports people watch. There's so many interests. What made you choose wrestling as an interest? Sorry, what were your first signs of just knowing that you were a fan of the business?
Well, when I was a kid, I was one of the smaller kids and stuff like that growing up, and I always wanted to play sports, basketball, football, that stuff, but of course I was just way too small for it and stuff, but I was one of them late bloomers, I guess, and I watched wrestling when I was a little kid and stuff, a little bit. You know, I was a big Sting fan back in the day, and I didn't really get into it until I was in the military, which is kind of funny. Me and some of the boys, we'd always get together once a month for the pay-per-views and stuff and have a little party at my house, steaks and beers and stuff, and just hanging out and stuff like that, and just watching the pay-per-views. So that's when I really got into it, and you know, I always talked about, you know, I would always be the Triple H jersey back in the day in the Attitude Era and stuff, and jumping all around and and doing the suck it sign and all that stuff. So it was pretty fun and crazy. So that's when I really got into it.
So you bring up the military, and just kind of before going into the military, did you have a wrestling mindset, or did you kind of just want, did you have a big passion for the U.S. military and just decide to serve and to see where the future came from there? Or did Mark get in contact with you while you're in the military in regards to training at the 3D Academy?
Basically, I didn't even think about Trey. I started looking for wrestling schools when I was getting out of the military with the bombing and stuff. And I, you know, when I went through that, I really, really dedicated and everything, I made up the decision of saying, okay, great, I'm going to start wrestling. Like, this is my dream. This is what's going to happen. I'm going to pursue it. Cause most people in the world today, they don't follow their dreams, and it's sad. But, I made that decision after I got back from the bombing, and, like the plane ride back, which was like ungodly amount of hours, from Yemen. And, you know, I made my mind up then. I'm going to do what I dream of, and I'm going to, you know, represent my boys and the family that we lost out there and stuff. So, and then just stand for something. So I came back and I went into, I didn't really find a wrestling school at first because I was in Virginia and stuff like that. And I was looking to come back to Florida and stuff, and I just couldn't find anything. And I kind of got away from it a little bit because I had some troubles with my post-traumatic stress and stuff, and just, you know, went down a crazy path. But then I came back too, and I was bouncing at a bar one night, and a friend of mine come up to me and was like, well, you always talk about the wrestling thing and you've always wanted to do it. Well, you know, there's a school, you know, 15, 20 minutes down the road from your house. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. This is perfect. And then I found out it was the Dudleys, and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And I made my decision right then and there that second. Then the very next day I showed up, and Bubba Ray Dudley was the very first person I met in that school. And that's what truly made it real for me, you know, just seeing him there and stuff. And I signed up right away. Like, there was no hesitation with Bubba and Devon there. No hesitation whatsoever.
Transitioning, wrestling training, military, both a lot of discipline-oriented mindsets. Did you kind of find it more of a challenge or an advantage after going through the situations, the unfortunate situations that my condolences go towards in those times in the military? Did you use those assets well training professional wrestling? Did it make you any better, or did you kind of just want to start on a fresh slate?
It kind of, like, physically, I think wrestling is way harder than boot camp or anything I went through in the military. That's just personally. But mentally, I think the military definitely got me ready for wrestling and the training that goes behind it, just because of the dedication that you have to become something in this business. Like, a lot of people in this world, they don't really understand what we have to go through, but, you know, a lot of them are starting to open their eyes, but still people, even in wrestling school, still don't even know, you know? And what I mean by that is that the struggle to get beat up and to go home and still come back the very next day, you know what I mean? Not taking a day off, doing, you know, your shoot job and then going to wrestling practice and then going back to your shoot job the very next day with a couple hours of sleep. Like, that's a true struggle, just to follow your dream that's not profitable yet. That's just a long-term dream that you have a very small chance of making it. You know, that's the true struggle of becoming a pro wrestler.
Where are you, like, for, you know, when you go through wrestling training, a lot of people, pretty much everyone in the business, including myself, have to deal with heat at least once. Do you kind of have any memories within the first encounter? Maybe it was a funny encounter, more of a serious encounter in regards to having any heat with any of the boys, or just starting out on the independent scene, you're just doing your own thing?
Yeah, this is the thing about me in the indies, is that I just did my own thing. You know, I didn't keep to myself. I had a lot of friends and stuff in the business, and I still got, like, you know, one or two left. But, you know, that's just the way the business is. I mean, there's going to be always people talking crap about you. And I was very lucky to get signed right away. Like, I was maybe, a year and a half into my training, and I got signed to TNA. So I was very lucky. Had a great attitude about it. I shut my mouth. I soaked everything up like a sponge. I was still doing the indies. I was still training at the Team 3D Academy. You know, I was still doing all that people didn't even see. You know, they thought, oh, well, just he's on TNA now. He's just doing his thing. No, I was still training harder than ever, you know, and I still am. I've been training now recently, especially recently, harder than I ever have my whole almost 10 years in this business. You know, that's the thing about me, is that I've never stopped and I never will.
You know, after training, you bring up a year later, you were signed by TNA. Now, for someone who's been training in the business for only a year and being very green at that time, signed by TNA, did you feel any pressure kind of going in there knowing that there were most of those guys in the locker room had so much experience and you're just a year in? Did you kind of feel a little lost at first, or were you just caught up with all the adrenaline? Did it really catch up to you or anything like that?
It was kind of both. I never really overthought it. I never got into the, you know, the drama of, like, looking around the locker room like, all right, who's pissed off at me because I got signed soon. I never thought of that. I thought of it as a learning experience for me, especially when I first got there. TNA has one of the best locker rooms in the world. Like, those guys are amazing. Like, when I first got there, AJ Styles, Christopher Daniels, Kazarian, those guys worked with me in the ring. Like, you know what I mean? And when, you know, there were some of the guys there that would have a match with the, you know, the new Jesse Neal guy or whatever, like, they took it in stride and they took it as a learning experience. So I can grow, so they can grow and make a good product for TNA. And that's what I loved about my locker room, is because I felt at home, you know what I mean, with that locker room. There was a great bunch of guys.
Excellent. And, you know, I always say this to my, not just on podcast, but to my friends, when you were around for TNA during your stint, those were the times TNA was stable. Those were the times that when TNA was a really solid product to watch. And you know what? It still is, but it lacks many things right now. Do you kind of, when you look at the current scene of TNA right now, just from someone that used to be in the company, do you kind of feel a little guilt, not guilt, but like compassion for some of the people that are going through those certain things that are they are going through, because certain people, maybe they're
I mean, that's one thing about me too, is that I know business and I know I'm not stupid, you know. And when I still had two more years on my TNA contract when I walked, I asked for my release and I just felt that I needed to leave, you know what I mean? And I just seen where it was going and I didn't like it and I wasn't comfortable. I talked to a few, you know, a few people that I looked up to about the situation, and Shannon too. I look up to him too. He helped me out a lot when I was in TNA. I talked to him about some things. And I just decided it was the right time for me to go, because I was so new in the business and I really haven't established, like, my game set in front of the camera, because some of the things that me and Shannon did was great, we have done a lot better things that weren't even aired, you know what I mean, that just didn't make it to TV and stuff. But so I felt like I didn't want to drown, you know what I mean, and just be forgotten about again, put back on a back shelf because of this and that, whatever business, whatever politics happen in the office, that's them. That's why they're the executives, and that's why I'm an entertainer. I'm the worker bee, you know what I mean? I'm there to wrestle and entertain. That's it. I'm not there to get in politics and stuff. But I love those guys, man. Those guys are awesome there, and they deserve a lot better. And the way TNA kind of, I guess they say, went downhill or whatever and lost ratings and jumped channel or whatever, you know, that sucks for the wrestling business in a whole because, you know, the reason why we had the WWF versus WCW days is because of competition. You know what I mean? There was competition. Whenever there's competition, you make the other brand work a lot harder. And when wrestlers are working a lot harder, it's more entertaining for the fans. The fans want to spend more money. They're more entertained. And that's complete circle right there. And TNA, I know, I believe Anthem bought them out or something like that, is running things or whatever. And Dixie's kind of taking a little back seat or whatever they say. I haven't really looked much into it, but you know, hopefully that's better for the business completely. You know, Dixie, she was always nice to me. I've never had any bad ill will, anything to say against her. I don't know. It's like she was, I always said that she was like the mom of the company. You know what I mean? She always made sure we were okay and taken care of and stuff like that. You know, she was always nice.
Did you, by any chance, kind of feel any, so no negative vibes at all towards Dixie, all good vibes, seemed really, did she seem organized and everything along those lines?
I don't know. I think this is only my personal opinion or anything like that. You know, it's just that, I kind of wish she just knew more about the wrestling business, if you know what I mean. Like, if you haven't been in the wrestling business or you haven't gotten the ring and actually done anything, you don't really know the business. And, I mean, she's no Jeff Jarrett, you know what I mean? Like his father, I mean, his family is, you know what I mean, is brains of the business, you know. And like, when he left, I seen him leave, and I'm like, uh-oh. And then now I heard he's back or something like that, I think. I'm not sure. I think this was just recent, maybe. So I don't know. TNA is starting to show some more light. You know what I mean? More light is more competition for all the other companies. And all us wrestlers, we have more options to go to and spread our wings and do our thing.
You know, something really I enjoy from your work in TNA was your alliance with Rhino, working with Rhino and everything. And now look at him. It's succeeding really well again in the WWE, even as a longtime veteran. You know, you got to give the guy a lot of credit. He's one of my favorite wrestlers in the business. I've had an honor to do a few interviews with him and get some feedback from him, and he's such a great guy. What was it like working with Rhino? You know, any good Rhino stories from back in the day?
Well, when I first got to TNA, they you know, they loved my real story that I have to share, you know, that I have to share to with the world. You know, there's no acting in my story. It's all complete real and a lot of emotion, a lot of, you know, strings I hit on with people and stuff like that emotionally. And they didn't really know what for sure to do with me. It's just, you know, okay, you got a look, you got a story, you're brand new, what do we do with you? And then, like, they put me with Rhino, and I mean, completely right away. I mean, I trained with the Dudleys, for crying out loud. It was an honor to be with somebody like that. You know what I mean? He took it with stride. He was great with me. He was kind of like, you know, my coach, you know what I mean? And the, like, not just on camera, but behind the scenes too. It was awesome. It was great. Me and him, man, we gelled great. And then, the Dudleys came over. It was Team 3D or whatever. And we started, you know, that crew or whatever. That was some of the greatest stuff that we could have went with. We were kind of just bringing back the old ECW stuff, and like, they're the old school. I'm like the new, you know, the new blood into it and stuff like that, that can, you know, get beat up and dish it out at the same time, you know, like old style way. But, you know, that got put to an end. But the time that we did it, man, that was a blast, man. I was honored to just stand next to those guys in front of that camera.
Absolutely. And, you know, it was an honor. It was great for all the fans that got to watch that, because, like I was saying, those were during those gold days of TNA. And you have a lot of credit to say for yourself as well, because you were a part of that. Going from Rhino, you were talking about Shannon Moore earlier, one of my favorite guys cruiserweights, I love watching the guys. So entertaining. Into punk rock. I'm into punk rock. Sometimes I just like to relax, have a beer, and listen to punk rock. Just a typical standout worker. I just was always a big fan of him. Enough about me talking about him now. You actually worked with him. What were your thoughts on working with Shannon Moore and having the whole Ink Inc. Tag team gimmick?
Well, the funniest thing is that WWE came down here in Orlando. I think it was WrestleMania 24, I think it was. Something like that. I was in the audience, like, not knowing anything, you know what I mean? Just in the audience. I think I just started wrestling or something like that, like brand new, like into training and stuff, or right before, I forget. But he was actually in a battle royal to open up WrestleMania. So I actually got to see him. I mean, yeah, I was in the nosebleeds and I could barely see him, but, you know, I was there and I felt the energy and stuff. And I knew, you know, okay, wow, there's Shannon Moore. He was in there, I think, trading blows with Bob Holly. And, you know, when you trade blows with Bob Holly, you don't last very long. he's a tough dude. But it was crazy because I saw him and Jeff come driving up in the Lamborghini. And he pops out, Mohawk tattoos, and I'm really not doing anything at the moment, you know, a Mohawk tattoos. And I'm like, well, there goes my spot, you know what I mean? I mean, Shannon's been in the business forever, you know what I mean? And he's so much better, you know? So I, at that point, you know, I'm just like, all right, I'm done again, you know what I mean? Maybe I'll just reinvent my character or something. But thankfully, Shannon, man, he's down to earth. He's an awesome dude. He came to me, man, and because he started out in the cruiserweight thing or whatever, and he wanted to do more. So me and him got started talking or whatever, and similar looks, similar attitudes. We started talking about, you know, tagging, and we were throwing ideas back and forth, basically agreeing with each other before even saying it, that type of deal. So we had the chemistry, we had the right attitude, and a great playing field to start out brand new, you know what I mean? So he wanted to do something. He wanted to help me out, and I wanted to become something really great. And we were part of some of the great tag team wrestling that TNA has ever seen.
You guys are listening to Jordan Garber now with none other than former TNA star Jesse Neal now. It's great for the program that the show's got a lot of insight on TNA, as recently we've had Mr. Anderson on and DJ Z on, and now we have Jesse Neal on. So what I ask all you fans to do, listen to all the episodes. Take it into perspective. Form an opinion, and go on from there. There's a lot of good insight to be heard here on Jordan Garber Now, and we deliver that each and every week. Talk about ring, what is it? Sorry, Real Canadian Wrestling. Squiggy, Steve, how was going down in Calgary after your TNA release, going on the indie scene, working with some local guys, maybe some old familiar faces? Kind of just getting back in the ring and everything. How was it, the whole stint going there for Real Canadian Wrestling down there in Alberta?
Well, that was a trying time for me, man. And good old Squig, man, he came out of nowhere to bring me up for a shot. And I think it was supposed to be more than one, but I don't know, something happened. And we just hit it off, man. Me and a bunch of the boys up there, I never met him a day in my life, but the first time we met, man, we just hit it off really good. The match happened off great. I wanted to be more a part of the company and stuff like that. So we talked about some things, and we actually invented the flip flop mafia when we were up there.
Awesome.
The first time I went, yeah, it's a good thing. Like, where we came up with that is a funny thing. Like I never met him before. Him, Squig and Cujo, man. Cujo's my boy up there, man. He's awesome. One of his boys, I guess, was in trouble or something. Couldn't even leave the house, you know what I mean? And I look up, I'm laying on the ring, you know, just getting my mind right for the show, and I'm overhearing this. And like I said, I just met him, shook his hand, that's it. And I go, screw it, let's go save him, man. Let's go get him out of there. Because I guess he had some people or something coming over to beat him up or something. I don't know what happened. I'm like, screw it, let's go. So me, Squig, and Cujo jump in his car, and we head on over there, make sure he's all right and everything's cool. And then we get back to the show. This is like literally right before a show. And we all get out, and I'm like, guys, look down. And we're all wearing flip-flops. Like, we were going to go over there and beat the crap out of a bunch of people in flip-flops. So the flip-flop mafia was born that day. And like I said, I never met him a day in my life, but they're definitely family, man. They're good people up there. He brought me back a couple more times. I think honestly, it was great for me because I got to learn different styles of wrestling from a lot of different people around the world that work for Real Canadian Wrestling. It was one hell of an experience, and I really can't wait to do it again. I mean, and it seems like every time I go up there, I get more crazier and crazier in the ring because, for one, you don't know where I'm going to jump off of, some balcony, some anything, tables, chairs, ladders. Man, we do everything, man. I go all out up there.
Do you kind of feel like it's more comfortable on the independent scene since you have, like, more room to work with? There's not really people telling you what to do. You and the person you're working with, you call your own spots. You do your own thing. You kind of prefer that convenience, or did you kind of like it when things were a little more controlled by the production and the promoters and along those lines, things like that?
I mean, honestly, I think everybody has a part in the wrestling business today, even the producers and the agents and stuff like that. And like whenever I have a match, if I take advice with a grain of salt, and I love advice because, you know, it gets my wheels turning even more, you know what I mean? And it just makes the match even better, you know, if you have more minds on it and can throw ideas out, because you never know, you know, everybody has a bad day and everybody has days where they're not thinking straight or, you know, quick enough or whatever. And, you know, if you have another set of eyes on something, it's really good to have. So I like the freedom of, like, when I come in and be like, oh, hey, Jesse, what do you feel like doing today? You know, or what kind of match do you feel like doing? Or, you know, what do you think? Or so I love that. But I also like a frame, you know, like a foundation to grow off of and put my own stuff in, because obviously it's their show, it's their thing. So they have to put the foundation out and what they imagine their show to go for. And I like to come in and put my own spin on things. You know what I mean? So I kind of like both. You know what I mean? You got the foundation, but then I also have my freedom too. So I kind of like that. I'm more of a guy, you put a mic in my hand, you don't write a script for me, you know?
Absolutely. And, you know, this is a question you don't really hear a lot. And you probably had someone not ask you this on a wrestling podcast, which I assume is a good thing, since Jordan Garber now strives to stand out above other wrestling podcasts. The trading cards, the memorabilia, did you kind of enjoy having that perk in TNA, getting some exposure? You know how TriStar is. They make you sign, like, 500 copies of a trading card, and then they put it in packs and everything. How was it like having your own trading card and just kind of having that bit of fun with the whole memorabilia aspect of that?
Oh, it was awesome, man, because, I mean, I've never had a trading card before, you know what I mean? And people all around the world were, you know, having my trading card, you know, and what the sad thing is that ever since I was a kid, I've always wanted an action figure, and they only made a few of mine because right when they were coming out, I got my release. So I guess they recycled them or something, destroyed them or something. I don't know where they're at, but there's like a couple of them still out there that went to toy fairs that I've been trying to track down, but I can't track them down. That's kind of like one of my main goals in professional wrestling is to have an action figure, you know?
How much, like, you know, and that's a good point, too. You know, you kind of feel that's a little shitty how you have all these action figures were going to be made and you were notified that you're going to have one, and now you can't even find them. I think WCW did that with their trading cards in the 2000s. I think a bunch of wrestlers quit at once, and then they stopped production. There's a similar story of a thing like that. Crazy, you
know. I mean, anything with the company's name on is free promotion, you know what I mean? And I was literally waiting on the package in the mail for like 10 or 12 action figures, you know what I mean? Every day I was like, oh man, when's I'm getting here? And then the whole release thing happened and stuff like that, so I'm like, oh, I'm never gonna see it again.
We brought it up earlier, but why not bring it again one more time? We a lot of discussion in wrestling news lately have been about the Dudleys. You've trained with them, you worked with them on TNA, one of the highest levels of professional wrestling, obviously, and just overall, just in a nutshell, your experience with them overall.
I gotta say, man, they're a great couple of guys. I'm not just trying to kiss ass or nothing like that. I ain't got nothing to win or anything over or anything, but like I said, like they're Team 3D Academy is one of the probably roughest things I've ever been through in my life. And I actually still go. So I was there last week, you know, helping out and stuff like that and training also. But, like, I literally worked with Bubba every day for the first year. and Devon, like, they were actually there. They're not wrestlers that just put their names on stuff, you know what I mean? And it was a great experience, you know what I mean? And I'll never take it back, you know? And to be honest with you, if it wasn't for those two guys, I, Jesse Neal wouldn't be known at all. Like, I would be a nobody in this business. Nobody.
Absolutely. And, you know, you kind of, I know if you weren't at the 3D Academy, I definitely know you still would have made a name for yourself, but you still, you give credit where credit is due, learning from the greatest tag team in the world, for sure. What are you up to nowadays? You know, are you, any plans after wrestling? Are you just sorting things out, or what's the current situation now for Jesse?
My life's a little weird right now. You know, I was up in Pennsylvania trying to make my family work and stuff, and that sort of didn't work out. But I'm back here in Florida now, so I'm wrestling a lot more. Just working every day, man, trying to take a step forward and stuff like that. And, you know, with NXT right down the road and TNA back on the ups and stuff. So, you know, you never know what's in store for Jesse Neal. I'm just putting my name out there. I might be going to Germany here in 2 weeks, wrestling for Alex Wright's company out there. I'm still waiting to hear back from them. And a lot of local indies, I'm starting to get scheduled up and putting on my Twitter and Facebook and all that stuff. And just come back to where is home, you know what I mean? Like, where I feel at home and where the fans, you know, where I basically grew up in the wrestling business, right here in Orlando. So, you know, it feels good to be back. I actually do have a 2.5-year-old daughter, but she's with her mom up in Pennsylvania, and we're not seeing eye to eye right now. But, you know, life happens, you know what I mean? And as long as I'm taking a step forward and stuff like that, you know, I'll be all right.
You know, I'm going through a lot as well, and I do understand that you are as well. So if you need a brother to talk to, I am definitely here for you. And is there any plugs that you'd like to share with all the people listening from around the world?
Just like I said just now, it feels kind of crazy right now because I'm just trying to get everything set because I just got down here about 2 weeks ago. But you can follow me on Twitter, the Jesse Neal, and Instagram is the same thing, Facebook, all that stuff. I post everything, and I always try to keep up to date with my shows and stuff. And like I said, man, I'm going to be in Miami this coming weekend. I just got done with a show here in Orlando last night. I got to beat the crap out of some dude, so that was fun. But I'm back, man, I'm back. So just keep your eyes open if you want to see Jesse Neal and stuff. Trust me, it won't be boring when I'm on a show.
Excellent. Jesse, it was great having you on. You have yourself a great day.
All right, man. You too. I appreciate you having me on.
Thank you. That was none other than former TNA star Jesse Neal here on Jordan Garber Now. Now, you know, look at what he explains about the TNA product. Look what he explains about his time in the independent. This guy's been through a lot. He started in the military, and he transitioned to pro wrestling. That takes a lot of discipline, and you got to give a lot of respect to a worker like that. That was, like I said, that was Jesse Neal, former TNA star. What we have lined up for next week, we have another wrestling star on, and that is Sam Houston. Definitely brings everyone back to the good old 80s days of professional wrestling, as people would say, the good old days. And as for this podcast, my future, it's definitely bright. You know, I've been going through a lot of depression recently and been having a lot of things going on. But I'm just glad to continue to do some episodes and get this show rolling. Get this show rolling because it's great to talk to each and every one of you fans from around the world and talk with some of the best wrestlers in the world. It makes you love this business, and it makes Jordan Garber Now strong, and the show will continue to be stronger than ever. You can keep up with me on Twitter at Jordan J. Garber. Jordan Garber Now will also be getting a Twitter. I'm going to be creating a Twitter account for that podcast. You can follow that. I believe it'll be at Jordan Garber Now, unless I find a different name, username for it. You can follow me on Instagram at Jordan J. Garber and like the Facebook page at Jordan J. Garber. From Winnipeg, Manitoba, and from Jordan Garber speaking, this was Jordan Garber Now with former TNA star Jesse Neal. You all have yourself a great day.